I'm a huge advocate for trailers for podcasts for a number of reasons. I can talk about the marketing aspects of it, but first let's do the content. So I think they should be short. And the reason I say I think, even though I claim to be an authority on this topic, is because there is no right and there is no wrong. You can do whatever the hell you want, and that's the beauty of podcasting. However, I think that they should be between 30 seconds and 90 seconds, something quick to whet the appetite of a potential listener. Bare bones, what they should say is your name, your show, when it's dropping, why you're making it, who it's for. When in doubt, you can spoon feed your listener everything they need to know about your show via the trailer. If you have more time, more resources, more money, probably, you can get a little bit more creative with it. But at the very least, it should have the above elements.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Ariel Nissenblatt.
For the trailer podcast that you do, how long are those trailers typically? Because I know a lot of people do trailers, but I'm just wondering, what are the usual things that they entail? Yeah. What's usually included? How long are they? How long should they be?
You have just opened up a can of worms, and we can get into it. I've written a lot about trailers. I've podcasted a lot about trailers. I have been interviewed a lot about trailers. I'm a huge advocate for trailers for podcasts for a number of reasons. I can talk about the marketing aspects of it, but first let's do the content. So I think they should be short. And the reason I say I think, even though I claim to be an authority on this topic, is because there is no right and there is no wrong. You can do whatever the hell you want, and that's the beauty of podcasting. However, I think that they should be between 30 seconds and 90 seconds, something quick to whet the appetite of a potential listener. Bare bones, what they should say is your name, your show, when it's dropping, why you're making it, who it's for. When in doubt, you can spoon feed your listener everything they need to know about your show via the trailer. If you have more time, more resources, more money, probably, you can get a little bit more creative with it. But at the very least, it should have the above elements. From a marketing perspective, you should have a trailer. It should almost be a no-brainer. You should have a trailer because it allows you to market your show before the rest of your show is ready to go. So you've got this small piece of content that didn't take you that much time that you can use to populate your RSS feed before your show is necessarily ready to start showing up on the RSS feed. So you can upload that, make sure that your feed looks good, make sure that you are findable on all the podcast listening apps. You can start even sending people to your show to subscribe or to hit the follow button, even leave ratings and reviews before your show actually launches. So it gives you a number of launch opportunities. It also allows you to really think about what your show is about and why you're making it. It forces you to distill that down. And then also, a lot of the podcast listening apps have dedicated space in their apps where the trailer is shown. And that guides potential listeners' eyes to check that out. That's the top of the funnel. They're going to listen. Maybe they like it. Maybe they don't. They become a listener or they don't.
Yeah, good point. I'm probably doing everything that you suggested there, except I don't mention my name. Which I don't, it wasn't deliberate.
And again, but like, this is not, this is what I suggest. I do think in general, because your show is so you, that your name would be helpful. But of course, like, if it's like an audio drama and you're having an in-universe trailer that kind of sounds like a movie, you probably don't want to say, and my name's Arielle and I made this. But, you know, there's exceptions to everything.
Yeah. I mean, I do talk about the name of the podcast and they'll figure out that I'm the host. But, you know, I'm the one saying the trailer.
And your face is on the cover art.
And my face is on the cover art.
So that helps a lot with some visual cues.
Yeah. Speaking of visual, I also want to ask you another controversial question. And that is, do podcasts need a visual element? Like, do they need to be on YouTube?
No. Nobody needs to do anything.
Sure.
I like to listen to podcasts. I think video helps. I think video helps in a few ways, and it also hurts in a few ways. So it helps in the sense that if you can do it right, meaning Your video looks good. Your sound definitely sounds good. You've got all that locked and loaded. Your guests are also set up in a nice way because you can't control them.
That's the tricky part.
Huge,
yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
If you can do all of that and then make some social clips for them, maybe decide every once in a while that you're going to produce an entire episode, video and audio, but more so, and it seems a little bit more attainable, if you cut the episode up into like 3 or 4 clips that you can use for promotion, that could be a fun way of trying something out, hitting people's feeds in a different way than you usually do, which might be an audiogram or just an image of your guest. However, there's no guarantee that you use video, you drop video, you use all the right hashtags, you use all the right captions, you try to hit the algorithm. You might not hit the algorithm, and that's okay, but it also could be really... it could be really demoralizing, and you just spent a lot of money or a lot of time, or you pulled some favors with friends to edit video for you. And I think video can be great. I don't think every show needs video. And I also think that there's beauty in audio only, and there will always be an audience for it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think a lot of us have gotten hung up on YouTube and how popular it is. But, well, here's another question. So, is that really the way that people are discovering audio podcasts? Do you think that really does?
There's different data for different demographics. For example, I went to NYU last week to teach a class to students in the mostly in the media school, I think, but some of them were journalists, some of them were music majors. The class is called The Business of Podcasting, which is the coolest thing ever. I would have loved to take that. And I asked them, I kind of used them as a focus group, and I said, you know, how do you discover podcasts? All of them said social media. It was about 30 students. And then I asked, like, when you discover a podcast on social media, do you did you just follow it on social media, or do you then go and listen to it or watch it if it's on Spotify or on YouTube? And it's a lot of them said that they do eventually move over to get that content in full on the podcast. But my hunch is that that's not the case for a lot of people, because when you're used to consuming something for 30 seconds and this person is really effective in 30-second sound bites, they may not be as effective in an hour and a half or an hour. And there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes into retaining a listener. So I do think social media can be really effective in bringing people from one medium to another, but it's not a guarantee. And I think that's when you said a moment ago that a lot of people are hung up on YouTube and trying to make video because people are talking about it. I really think we all need to lay off of the, like, the gurus are saying it, so you must do it. There is no must. All you have to do is, like, if you're passionate about it and you feel like you want to try it, great. But you should never feel like, oh, I have to do this now.
Yeah, good point. I think a lot of us are kind of pushed in that direction because that's what everybody is saying you need to do. I like your idea of using bits and pieces of the video to promote it on social media. And certainly the data does show that it's much more effective than an audiogram.
Yeah.
So
definitely. I mean, think about it from your own perspective. As I'm consuming social media, I'm thinking about my reaction to social media. Today I saw an audiogram, you know, audio only with words across the screen and a waveform and a nice logo for the show. I did not care to read the audiogram. Did not care. But I see video and I'm a little bit more intrigued as to what that's going to be about, depending on the topic or how it's laid out. It's definitely, you know, better. However, if you don't record video or if you want to make a video element of your show without recording video, real faces like we're speaking right now, you can still have a video element. You can go to Descript, you can go to Adobe, you can go to a lot of different places. You can upload your audio and you can get that entire thing captioned on the screen and throw up some B-roll so that, you know, when you're talking about pancakes, pancakes are on the screen. When you're talking about a company that the person you're interviewing is a part of, you can have their logo on the screen, a lot of things like that make this a little bit more visual without you having to actually be recording your guest and yourself. So that is another way to take advantage of the video craze, the video algorithms on social media without really having to go all into it. And you can do that like in the same softwares that you would use to edit full video.
Hi, this is Cynthia Joy, voice coach. I was a guest on Jody's podcast, Audio Branding. It was a great pleasure working with Jody. She's a great host, thoughtful, detail-oriented, and asks insightful questions. I recommend you check out the podcast if you want to make your brand sound successful.
Yeah, I believe that Opus Clips or
Minvo.
Minvo, yeah. So Minvo also, they all make clips that will use B-roll if you ask them to. So that's been interesting. I have not enjoyed what they've done with my podcast
when
I feed it in. Yeah, it's a little odd and jerky and really literal.
Yeah. I've seen that. So you're talking about like the concept of time and then it gives you a clock.
Yeah. That's the thing about AI, right? It does not understand the human experience. Yeah. And so it can't really get like, you know, illusions. Right. It can't draw from an experience that would give it something else. Right. Like if you listen to a sad song to make you happy, it doesn't understand that.
It thinks you're sad. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So the B-roll is kind of still figuring that out. And yeah, so I don't really like using it all that much. And we get it at here. We use it just for ideas of what the snippet should be, more than actually using that video output. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to use this. You mentioned that you use AI in order to help you with the planning stages and that kind of thing. So that's kind of why we're using it too.
Yeah.
And I just find using it for creativity does not work as well. You get a kind of bland, literal interpretation.
And there's some people for whom that works. Maybe their show is really B2B and they don't have the time to be spending, you know, not finding very literal clips. And it's okay because the audience just wants to be able to see something. Great.
Yeah.
But I think all of that needs to be tested.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's different for each show, as you say. Yeah. So are there any upcoming trends or anything that you've seen in podcasts that you think are going to become really popular?
I think a lot of people think the solution to monetizing is subscriptions and membership, but it's not for everyone. That's something that Apple Podcasts pushes because they take a cut of a subscription.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it works for some creators who are big and whose audiences continue to grow and who have a big enough team to, once you get all of these members, to actually make sure that those members stay happy and stay subscribed. There's a lot that goes into making sure a membership is successful.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a lot of work.
Sort of like video, I think that a lot of creators are going to be pushed to start memberships without being ready. And one way to tell if you are not ready to start a membership is if you ask your audience for ratings and reviews and you don't get any, it's like pulling teeth to get them to do anything. You're probably not going to get them to pay you money to continue making your show.
That is a good point.
Things to think about are like, what's your engagement rate and what are they getting from your show uniquely that they're not getting elsewhere? So I think a lot of people need to be aware and educated on the idea that membership subscriptions, not for everyone. I can't be subscribed to 30,000 things. I can't be subscribed to every single podcast that I like, even though I want to support
them. Especially if they're money, if it's like paying. Yeah. Although I have noticed, and this was just recently, YouTube has decided to go into communities.
Yes.
So I'm curious as to how that's going to play out.
Me too.
Because like a lot of people have been creating Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. There are groups, but I don't know anyone who actually pays attention to them, honestly.
I get notifications for them, but I don't check them out.
Yeah. So I think the Facebook groups do sometimes work. And I guess Instagram has its own like chat function where you could have a group, I guess, if you wanted to. But really, Facebook groups are pretty much the closest thing to the YouTube community that they're trying. I haven't seen it yet. So I don't think it's played out for me. I'm in Canada, so for me, it hasn't really shown
Different rollouts.
I don't know what the rollouts are going to look like. But I remember the days of message boards.
Mm.
And so I'm kind of hoping it goes back to that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about YouTube is that you can, as a listener, you can respond in real time to something that just came up on the screen. Whereas for a podcast, sometimes your host, the host that you love, doesn't give you any avenues to give feedback or to say something positive. So one way that people will go is leaving ratings and leaving reviews in the on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or other places where you can actually leave a qualitative review. And those are great, but it's pretty one-sided. And I think that there is a lot more that can be done in order to engageify. So a lot of companies have popped up where, like FanList, for example, if you go to fanlist.com/trailerpark, you can see a fan page in action. And it's, you can go there, you can leave messages for me, you can DM me, you can pay me $5 or something like that. Whatever the situation is, this program is set up to customize to my potential supporters' desires on how to support me.
That's such a great idea. Yeah. I wonder, I think Podpage also has something like that. I'm suspecting.
That's probably true.
I really appreciate you being here. Know anyone that you think would make a great guest for this podcast? Someone who works in sound on behalf of clients? Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear about them. Your recommendations are always super helpful. And now back to the show. Yeah, so Dave Jackson is heading that up right now, and I know he's behind a lot of the changes that they've had and helping them with that. So, yeah, it should be really interesting to see how that plays out. And of course, you know, like the service you're using, they're always improving.
So
there's a lot coming that should make things much more interactive, which I'm hoping for, without the whole idea of having to have paid subscribers. Which, you know, communities, I think communities should be more organic.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they, you know, if you're asking people to pay more attention to you, or you're forcing them to do that, it just doesn't resonate as well.
Yeah, I think there are some instances where an existing community can be brought together, and they want to be brought together. They want to have discussions. Maybe it's a podcast about like finding a job after college. Maybe it's a podcast for specifically for customer experience professionals. And they all want to, you know, join a Discord where they can discuss their problems. And the reason that they came to this Discord is because they all listen to this podcast and it's vaguely run by the host, but it's also just a way for community to gather. But I also think that a lot of people try to build a community where it doesn't make sense with the show. Like a daily news podcast that's quick, that's like 10-minute episodes. You know, people are using that to, they're using it. They're using it to get information during their commute or while they're brushing their teeth. And they don't have hands available to do your call to action or to, you know, comment on your latest post on Facebook or something like that. So I think, again, like video and like memberships, we just have to think about not all falling for the trap of like, you must do this one thing. You must build a community for your podcast. A community must be built for you to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah. People have to be willing to be a part of it, that, you know, without you prompting them.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the tough part. I think engagement is one of the toughest places that podcasters have to have help with. And I'm curious as to your thoughts on that, actually. Have you seen anything in particular work really well for engagement?
Yes. Telling your audience exactly what you want from them really helps. A lot of people will say, all right, that's the show. Leave us a rating and review wherever it is that you get your podcast. We'll see you next week. Why? Why do you want a rating and review? What will it do? How am I going to use that as the host? So tell them, I want you to review this podcast because we heard from Ariel Nissenblatt that it's nice when people say hi because then other people might see that you were there. Like, give them a reason. You can even say, I want you to leave a review because I never hear from anyone. And if you leave me a review, I'll shout you out on the next episode.
Yeah, I do that here, actually.
Hell yeah. You can also say, leave me a review and answer the following question so that they have something specific to do when they're leaving a review, because a lot of times they don't know what to do. They don't know what to write.
Good point. Yeah.
And then that also goes for social media. Like, I will post on social media and say, the purpose of this post is to do the following, right? The purpose of this post is to get you to subscribe to this podcast. The purpose of this post is to get you to pay money to go to this event that I'm hosting. Mm-hmm. And I think people respond to that because it's no BS.
That is a really good point. Yeah. I think a lot of us ask them to do too many things at once, and that can get confusing. And also your point about, well, they might just be listening and they have no hands free to do with what you want them to do. Yeah. So that can definitely be a thing too. But yeah, just being straightforward about what they need to do is a really good point. Huge. I think a lot of us miss that. So there has been a lot that we have discussed here, and you've given a lot of really great tips, and I so appreciate that. Can you talk a little about what you're working on now? Do you know where you're going after Descript? Anything on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of freelance marketing work for individual creators and for some companies. Mm-hmm. I have noticed that a lot of podcast production companies are getting into branded podcasts. So reaching out to brands that they love and pitching those brands on a podcast, because often those brands want to be on podcasts, but when they are directly selling themselves, it's a little bit boring, but it can be a little bit better when they actually kind of disguise it. So for example, there is a podcast that I always talk about when I talk about branding from Rocket Mortgage, which I don't know exactly what they do, but I know that the word mortgage is there. And I know that one day if I own a home, I will need that, maybe. So that's the only company that I know that does that. And it's because they had a podcast in like 2018 called Homemade. And it was about the concept of home. It was stories on home. It was stories on natural disasters, stories on anything to do with homes. And because of that, it sticks in my brain and I will use that product one day. And it's a long game for them. That is not going to pay off for a long time, but it will eventually. So branded is happening. I went on a tangent there, but I'm doing some work helping people with branded podcast creation. I'm doing some work where I just pitch podcasters to be on other shows in order to either grow their show or to send people to a website or to an event that they're doing, anything like that. And I am always working on my podcast and I'm always working on my newsletter. And that's the deal.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
So the newsletter, it goes out how often? Once a week?
Weekly, every Sunday. Newsletter it's a podcast recommendation newsletter that I started in 2017 because I just wanted to listen to more podcasts, and it helped me do that then, and it continues to help me and a bunch of other people now. Each week is curated by a different person, so I'm never the only person curating. So you're going to get podcast recommendations from all over the world, from all sorts of topics, and podcasters can pitch themselves to be curators and then get one of their own episodes featured. So that's the draw for podcasters.
Sure. Very cool. And that's called Earbuds,
yes,
right?
Yes. Earbuds.audio is the easy website.
Great. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I am also a subscriber and I greatly appreciate your curation or the other people's curation.
I curate the curators.
Yeah. It's a really great newsletter and I appreciate it a lot. And I appreciate all of the work that you do. So thank you so much for being a part of this industry, because you've done a lot for it and greatly appreciated. How can people reach out to you if they'd like to do that?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Such kind words. I appreciate it. My website's probably best, arielnissenblatt.com. And I am now on every, I say this wistfully, regrettably, I am on every social platform and I don't know how to stop. And I don't know, I'm still on Twitter, but I'm putting a lot more time into Blue Sky. So we'll see. We'll see where we end up. For now, as of this recording, absolutely, probably everywhere.
Well, that's a lot of work. So yes, better you than me is all I can say. Although I'm curious about Blue Sky. I've heard a lot of people who are on there.
It's fun.
Is it? It's like the previous Twitter.
It looks great. It looks exactly like Twitter. It blows my mind.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, so if you're interested in Twitter before all of the stuff happened, then Blue Sky is the place to be, apparently. Yeah. Is there anything that you want to leave us with? Anything that you're promoting or anything like that?
No.
Any tips you want to tell people? Or
no direct promotions, I would say. Listen to more podcasts that are not your own because it'll help you become a better podcaster.
A great point. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ariel. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time,